good morning. It's been a bit since I've been here last, maybe 4 or 5 years. I see my little stickies back here with my lettering on it. Still, it's good to be back. So I'm talking about remembering the beloved in the other. I have become a student of A Course in Miracles quite intensely over these last 3 or 4 years, and it's really become my way of being. So, good morning. The topic today, remembering the beloved in the other, came about from listening to a podcast called Exploring A Course in Miracles and being so close to the elections. Is anyone familiar with A Course in Miracles? Oh, wow, that's a pretty good number out there. So a disclaimer, I am a recovering Catholic. I got stuck in a little black box and 10 years old and had to tell a man on the other side of chicken wire whom I couldn't see all the terrible things, and I hightailed it out of there and I never went back to that little black box again. But I still am challenged by words such as God or Father, Holy Spirit, salvation. So if you have this issue too, please substitute whatever words work for you, beloved mother, divine, spirit,
universe,
right. After 17 years of reading, oh, no wonder I can't see. After 17 years of reading the Course, I can recognize being triggered by these words, and then I can change my perception in the experience of them. And that has helped a lot to realize that they're just words and I'm triggered by them. The Course is an organized, carefully planned, spiritual, psychological program for teaching us to heal our perceptions and making forgiveness our way of life, and then extending that healing to others through the acts of loving kindness. The Course came through a woman described, her name is Helen Schuckman, in the mid-60s. She was a clinical psychologist at Columbia University, and she was also an atheist. I have been a student of the Course, I said already, but I'm going to say it again, of almost 17 years now. It has been a life-changing experience. Moreover, it has kept my keel steady during these 15 intense years of single parenting a fetal alcohol syndrome kid with autistic traits who has the wisdom of an old soul. Abby has brought me to my knees, both figuratively and physically, many times. I could do a year's worth of sermons on the lessons I've learned from her. I will just share a couple examples, though. I received Abby under emergency foster placement at 14 days old. Her name was Angel. I actually thought I was getting a little Puerto Rican boy, which tells you how white privilege discriminatory I was being. When we adopted her at 10 months later, I thought that the name would cause her problems when she got older, so we changed it. However, what I didn't realize is that she embodies the wisdom of an angel of an other realm that comes through when I least expect it but need it more, need it most, and she did not want to go back to Angel. another one is I could never teach Abby stranger danger. I would be mortified every time she walked up to a stranger and said, hi, or complimented them like, I like your shoes, your hat. Oh, what a nice shirt. And it would be the grimiest shirt and the dirtiest shoes. But you know what? That beaming smile and energetic shift that person made from her compliment just stopped me in my tracks. I no longer believe in stranger danger. We need to trust the wiser souls coming in these days and not to project our own upbringing or fear of them. They do know how to heal the world. And the last example of Abby. Abby does not conceive of time. She is ever present all the time. To remember what comes next is basically non-existent. We only share one event at a time, not a day or week's worth of planning. She lives the premise, which the Course says, that there is no future nor past. There is only now. And if you are ever conscious of being in the now, there is no worries or depression or anxiety in that when you're in that moment. In the Course, in Workbook Lesson 135, it says, a healed mind does not plan. Has anybody spent a day not planning, just like following their energy? So a healed mind does not plan. Does that mean that Abby's mind is more healed than mine? I continue to ponder this one. So back to the podcast hosted by Emily Perry. Emily is the director of the Circle of Atonement, with whom I am presently studying to be a course teacher. In this podcast, she interviews this cool, radical peacemaker named Oshita Moore. She is a pastor from St. Paul, Minnesota. The talk is about seeing the enemy or the other as the beloved. Oh my God. How do you see Trump, or Kamala for some, as the beloved? We do this by going deep and recognizing a thought is just a perspective, a projection, maybe a collective projection, but one's perspective nonetheless, coming from our own minds. Oshita speaks about beloved community as a call to unity, forgiveness, and recognizing the divine in everyone without exception. Yeah, that's a tall order. The basic idea of A Course in Miracles is forgiveness, finding the empathy for the enemy, the other. It is that we give forgiveness and thereby receive it for ourselves, the concept of one, concept of oneness. However, that thought is alien to our minds in this time of humanity. Instead, we project fear, not forgiving our enemy, and this creates thoughts of separateness, opposite of love. In the book, in lesson number 161, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. Bodies attack, but minds do not. This is the reason bodies easily become fear's symbols. You are urged to look beyond the body, for its sights, our eyes, present the symbol of love's enemy that Christ's vision does not see. The body is the target for attack, for no one thinks he hates a mind. Yet what but mind directs the body to attack? What else could be the seat of our fear except what thinks of fear? The insidiousness of our divisiveness is so big that we can't listen to an opposing viewpoint on anything without feeling defensive. We need to change our own perception. Changing one's perception is an inner action, which makes a change in our outer world happen faster than all the protests, letter writing, witnessing, or donation giving ever will. But how could we possibly see this situation differently? This is where Oshita Moore identifies the other as the beloved. She says, the enemy is a person, just like ourselves, who is just beyond my capacity for empathy. I'll just say that again. The enemy is a person, just like ourselves, who is just beyond my capacity for empathy. I don't have an enemy. It's just that my capacity for empathy towards them has fallen short. We all know there are some people we have plenty of empathy for, and others it's quite hard, unfathomable in some cases. That is us, our perception, perpetuating the division we all so want to heal. In the text in chapter 21, it says this about projection. We've all heard projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but will to change your mind about the world. How do we do this? Oshita goes on to say, when she is in the presence of a person who is an other, it is doubly important to avoid the debate, the defending of my own point of view, but instead be curious. Where is your story coming from? How have you come to this thought, this perception you hold? I want to find understanding and compassion for you. Let's, instead of pointing fingers, follow that finger to the other's heart. Invite a conversation. Practice listening, not pushing your own agenda, but holding a space for a change in perception within you. Not to change your minds to theirs, but maybe recognizing that that person has the same ideals, wants some of the same outcomes you do. You don't have to agree to find the beloved in the other. Only be on this side of empathy. And then the walls tend to crumble a bit. Ah, you are not so different or as evil as I thought. In the workbook section of A Course in Miracles is called What is the World? It says, let us not rest content until the world has joined our changed perception. Let us not be satisfied until forgiveness has been made complete, meaning there is no unforgiveness left in the world. Let us not attempt to change our function, which is to heal the world through forgiveness. We must save the world, for we who made it must behold it through the eyes of Christ. So here we sit with a choice, with a footpath forward, with an inkling of quite possibly doing this world a bit differently. In my experience of choosing forgiveness is seeing the light in our two presidential runners, is having no attachment to either, but having a deep knowing that it is the people in the end, not the president, that will change the world. And so it is.